This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This morning, jurors in the trial of admitted marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev were taken to an undisclosed location in South Boston. There, they were shown the Slipaway 2, the bullet-riddled boat where Tsarnaev hid from police and was ultimately captured on April 19, 2013. That was a win for the defense, who wanted jurors to see the entire vessel rather than just a portion of it, as prosecutors had argued.
Tsarnaev's arrest on that night ended an intensive around-the-clock manhunt in Watertown. Back in Boston Federal Court today, jurors also heard testimony about the violent shootout between Tsarnaev, his older brother, and the police.
But we'll begin with the boat. WBUR senior reporter David Boeri was the pool reporter with jurors this morning. He got a look at Slipaway 2, and when we spoke with David a bit earlier today, I asked him how the jurors began their day.
This morning at 8:23, the 18 jurors in this trial got to see the boat, the Slipaway 2. They were taken to that location. There was a reviewing stand built on one side of that boat so that people could walk up and then look down into the boat. And on the other side of the boat, there was a forklift that was used with a small cage in which jurors got in two at a time, escorted by an FBI officer, and they were able to be lifted up to look down in the boat again. What makes the boat of particular interest, especially the prosecution, is that inside the port rail of that boat, on the inside, is writing. We could see the writing. It's very faded. It's in pencil. And in it, there are, through it, I should say, run two vertical stripes. They're dark brown. We've seen them in photographs taken in an earlier stage, and they are Tsarnaev's blood. And that note, which the government says, is a confession. The first thing you see when you get up close to that boat is that it is riddled with bullets. We counted at least 110 bullet holes. They're marked by what pieces of evidence tape, but I must tell you that I saw one piece of evidence tape numbered 207. So there could be many more shots into that boat, all the way up on its starboard side, especially on its port side. They're in the hull. They're up on the railing.
You mentioned that the bulk of the bullet holes, David, were on the port side of the boat, which is the side which Tsarnaev was hiding in when he essentially was discovered by law enforcement officers that night in Watertown.
That's right. He's on the inside of the boat, of course. We see there were at least 50, 60 shots into the boat there. What is stunning when you see all those bullet holes is the thought he is in that boat and he survived. I looked at it, but I think, and I'm conjecturing here, that the deck of the boat is way lower than where those bullet holes, for the most part, are located in the side of the boat.
Now, David, were you able to see the jurors themselves as they were examining the boat? Any ability to tell us, you know, sort of what their demeanor was?
Yeah, they watched closely and attentively. We were very close to them. They were given notebooks. Many of them were writing in their notebooks. They got to walk up that viewing platform on one side of the boat, and then they got that lift from the forklift in a little cage on the other side. They spent a lot of time looking at those bullets. I have to tell you, you can't really see the writing that Jahar did in that boat because it's in pencil. We were about 15 feet away. That's as close as we could get. It's very faded, but there it was, and you could see that there was writing, so they stared at that quite a bit.
Now, Jahar Tsarnaev has the right to be present during all portions of his trial. Where was he this morning?
It was rather odd, I must say, that there he sat under a white pop-up lawn tent. And he sat at a table with a white cloth over it. He was flanked by his lawyers. He watched the jurors looking at the boat. He looked at the boat himself. He looked at this core of security guys, and it was very heavy security. And finally, he looked at us looking at him.
As we mentioned earlier, the defense wanted the jurors to see the entire boat. Prosecutors did not. What do you think the impact might be that the defense essentially won this round and jurors did see the entire Slipaway 2?
This is a desperate case for the defense. They have nowhere to go but forward. They have no choices. They couldn't plead out the government is intent on seeking the death penalty. So anything that they can do to give a little context, to try and just to paint a picture of somebody not only under the sway of his brother, which is much of the testimony that continues today, that the defense is trying to paint him as under the sway of his brother and under tremendous stress and pressure. A kid. That's all he is, the defense will tell you.
This week, jurors are also expected to hear testimony about the manhunt that culminated in Jahar Tsarnaev's arrest and Tamerlan Tsarnaev, the older brother's, his death at the hands of Jahar Tsarnaev, you know, when he tried to escape in the stolen Mercedes. What are jurors expected to hear?
Well, this is what they've already been hearing today, and it's the gun battle, the initial gun battle in Watertown. Three police sergeants have been testifying, and it's like the OK Corral gunfight. The descriptions and testimony of Tamerlan Tsarnaev coming at the cops, firing, continuing to fire, running toward them until, in one account, he runs out of bullets. He looks at the police officer. He looks at his gun in frustration, realizing he has no more bullets to fire at them, and then throws the gun at them. This is this testimony clearly shows that he is the primary actor here. Now, the government is trying to show that Jahar is equally there, that he's the one that's throwing bombs. One of the witnesses said there was a difference in the style of throwing the bombs, that Tamerlan, the older brother, was a pitcher, throwing them straight on, and the younger kid, Jahar, was doing a right hook over the shoulder with them. So he's throwing bombs. The defense seems to really want to establish that Jahar did not have a gun, was not firing a gun. That's important to them. Again, anything they can do, but the prosecution has come back, and they've pointed out he's throwing bombs, and a couple of witnesses say they think they saw flashes, gun flashes, two of them simultaneously, which would indicate both brothers had guns. The defense perhaps scored somewhat of a point and indicating, no, it might have been that he was lighting up or trying to light one of the bombs to throw it. Hmm. And that was the muzzle flash, supposedly.
And David, do we have any sense as to how prosecutors or even the defense is going to explain the fact that it was Jahar Tsarnaev who essentially ran over his brother, killing him?
He turned his car around. He could have gone one way. He came directly at them. He ran over his brother. The prosecution continues to point that out. The defense in all of this, which of course is vilifying the older brother, the defense is going to put that into the category of stupid, reckless, frightened behavior by somebody who is just a kid.
WBUR senior reporter David Boeri reporting to us from the Mookley Federal Courthouse. David got to see the slipaway to the boat in which Jahar Tsarnaev was hiding in when he was arrested after that 100-plus-hour manhunt in Watertown. David, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Magda.